A man was walking down the road when he came across a box sitting in the middle of it. There was a piece of paper on it that said, "Whatever you do, don't look inside." But of course, being told not to do something makes people want to do it even more. In any case, he picked the box up and took it somewhere more private. He reached his hand out towards the box, but then he stopped to think. What if it's a bomb? If the box was a trap, it wasn't outside the realm of possibility that there was some type of trick to it, he thought. He wanted to see inside, but just on the off chance. He was scared. Then, he had a brilliant idea. He would ask someone else to open it for him. He went and put the box back. At the same time, he heard the sound of someone walking down the road towards the box, whistling. Hey guys, I'm your host, Tara A. Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Kowabana, True Japanese Scary Stories from Around the Internet. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Patreon at Tara A. Devlin. Our Patreon also offers early access and bonus episodes. So if you'd like even more Japanese horror to tingle your earbuds, head over to patreon.com/Tara A. Devlin and help support the show. Did you pick up your copy of Kowabana Origins yet? I received a lot of great feedback from the last episode, so thank you to everyone who took the time to comment and let me know what they thought. I really appreciate it. You can grab Origins on Amazon right now, in ebook, paperback, or even read it for free with Kindle Unlimited. And if you head over to kowabana.net this month, we're posting an old classic Japanese creepypasta each and every day to celebrate. That's 31 stories for 31 days. If you want even more, head over to kowabana.net to check it out. Now, you may have been wondering what the box in our opening story has to do with this week's episode. This week, we're going to be looking at several stories featuring mysterious objects. Japan loves a good cursed object, as these next tales go to show. Our first story for this week features a young couple who enjoy shopping at second-hand and antique stores. But the strange puzzle box they find hidden in a dingy old store may have more to it than meets the eye. Find out what happens in this podcast exclusive called Dinfon. My girlfriend likes antiques, and when we were out driving the other day, we stopped by a few antique and recycling stores. I also like reggae and old clothes, so I gathered a nice collection of secondhand clothing and some old Nintendo games. Although we were buying different things, they were all sold within the same shop, so we had fun going from store to store. Both of us were able to find great bargains, and we got back in the car, excited with our finds. Then, I saw another run-down old store. Oh, wow! Maybe a small, out-of-the-way store like that is hiding the special gold version of Little Ghost Q Taro. I ran happily into the store, while my girlfriend watched me with cold eyes. It was about as large as a convenience store, but it was kind of boring. It was full of old books, but it didn't look like they had much furniture or old clothes. There was a single game of Ultimate Huddy Kitty Stadium sitting on the shelf, covered in dust like it didn't want to be there. I was about to suggest we leave, when my girlfriend let out a gasp. I ran over, and she was standing in front of a basket full of stuffed toys and ornaments. "Did you find something good?"
"Look at this!"
There was something underneath all the toys, at the bottom of the basket. It was some kind of toy with 20 sides. She reached in to grab it. Thinking about it now, how did my girlfriend see this tiny toy that was hidden beneath a bunch of stuffed toys at the bottom of a basket? But the strangeness had only just begun. What is that? Is it expensive? I don't know. I've never seen anything like it before. I think I'll buy it. It was true. With its indescribably calming hue, it wasn't a bad piece. I told her to get it if it was cheap. She took it to the register. A gloomy old guy was sitting there, reading a book. "Excuse me, how much is this?" I didn't miss the look he gave when he saw the 20-sided piece she was holding.
That. Yeah. How much was it? One moment, please."
He got up and went into the back room. I could hear him arguing with an old woman, probably his wife. Before long, he returned, holding a small, yellowed piece of paper.
"So, this toy is a so-called Linfon. These instructions explain what it does."
He unrolled the yellowed piece of paper. It looked pretty old. There was a picture of the 20-sided toy and the word Linfon written next to it in English. There was a sequence of pictures of a bear changing into a falcon and then a fish. It was surrounded by words I couldn't understand. The old man explained that it was written in Latin and English. "You can move the sides and change it into various shapes, like these animals here. First, why don't you try putting it in your hands, like you're trying to mold a rice ball?" My girlfriend did as he instructed, and something went ka-ching. One of the faces was sticking out.
"Wow, that's cool.
You can try turning the part that sticks out, or pull it out even further. Why don't you give it a try?" She did as he said again. This time, another side caved in.
"Wow, it's like a puzzle. You, why don't you try it?"
It's difficult to explain how the toy was constructed, but have you ever heard of those Transformers toys? A cassette tape can transform into a robot, or a pistol, or a truck. They were popular a while back. This Binfon was like that. It had 20 sides that you could push and turn. Try to imagine it turning into different animals, like a bear, a falcon, or a fish. My girlfriend was instantly fascinated with it, but I thought it was just a toy. And how much does it cost? My girlfriend nervously asked. Well, you see, this toy is rather old. But then, we forgot it was even here. All right, just for you, how does 10,000 yen sound? If you sell it on the internet, I'm sure you could get several hundred thousand for it from someone who's interested. My girlfriend likes to drive a hard bargain, and in the end, she got it down to 6,500 yen. She left the shop pleased with herself. The next day was Monday, so we went to a restaurant for dinner, and when we were done, we each went home. When I got home from work on Monday, my girlfriend called me. Yu-kun, this Dinfon is amazing. It really is like a puzzle, and it makes all these different animal shapes. It's all I can think about at work. Like, I can't concentrate on anything else. It's even more interesting than a video game. She was awfully excited about it. After she hung up, I got a message from her. It was a photo of her holding the Binfon. It was in the shape of a bear's upper body, with two legs sticking out. I replied, telling her that she'd done a great job, and then I went to bed. I got another message from her when I was driving home the next day. It's so fascinating. I was playing with it all night and finally made a bear. Come and see it. I smiled bitterly and changed directions to her house. You said you were playing with it all night, but did you go to work today? I asked when I got there. I did, but then I drank too much coffee and felt sick. The Linfon was on the table. It looked like a bear with four legs and its neck pointed in the air. Wow, that is pretty cool. I wonder how it's made. Right? I can't stop thinking about it. I should be able to make a falcon from it next, right? I thought I should start right away. Hey, you don't mean you're going to do that again tonight, do you? You can do it tomorrow. I guess. After that, we ate a simple dinner, fooled around for a bit, and then I went home. And I forgot to mention it earlier, but the Linfon was about the size of a softball. On Wednesday, I sent her a message on my way home from work. Did you sleep last night? Yes, I did. I'm looking forward to getting home and finishing it, she replied. I was playing PS2 around 11 p.m. when I got another photo from her. I made a falcon. It looks so real. Whoever made this Dinfon must be a genius. In the photo, the Dinfon was shaped like a falcon with its wings spread out. To my amateur eyes, the design was exquisite. It was a falcon that at any moment might flap its wings and take off. Of course, it was just a toy, and full of dips and bumps, but it was really well made. Awesome! Just the fish left then. But take it slowly. Don't get too wrapped up in it, I replied, and then went to bed. The phone rang when I got out of the bath on Thursday night. It was my girlfriend. Yukun, did you just call me? No. Why? Someone called me about 5 minutes ago. I could hear what sounded like someone walking around town, and all these voices talking, and then it hung up. I went to check who called, and normally you can see the number and name, right? But when I looked, it said, Kanata, the other side. I don't have anyone in my phone book like that. And then I got scared. All right, do you want me to come over? No. I'm gonna go to bed. Okay. The lines probably got crossed somewhere. That's all. How's the Linfon going? Did you make the fish? It's almost finished. I'll let you borrow it when I'm done. Sure. I'm looking forward to it. On Friday, I was still worried about the strange phone call my girlfriend received, so I called her myself and decided to head over to her house. The Linfon was mostly in the shape of a fish. It looked like it just needed the dorsal fin and tail fin to be finished. You got another strange call at lunch? Yeah. I was eating some bread when the phone rang. It said, unknown caller, so I answered it. As soon as I pressed the button, I heard all these people screaming, so I hung up. It's gotta be crossed lines or someone playing a prank. Why don't we head to the phone store tomorrow? Yeah, let's do that. After that, we spoke about how amazing the Linfon toy was and played around with it to finish the fish, but we couldn't figure out how to get the tail. We argued and struggled over it and figured that because it was the final transformation, it had to be the most difficult. But in the end, we got sleepy, and the next day was a Saturday, so I ended up staying at my girlfriend's house for the night. That night, I had a terrible dream. Swarms of naked men and women were crawling around the bottom of a dark valley. I frantically scrambled up the cliff to escape. The peak was just there. It was so close. I was nearly free. The moment my hand touched the top, a woman grabbed my ankle. Take me with you. I woke up covered in sweat. It was just past 5 a.m. It didn't feel like I would be able to sleep again, so I lay in bed and waited for my girlfriend to get up. It was Saturday, so we went to the phone shop. They didn't know what was going on with the strange calls. I suggested we go and get our fortunes told, as a change of pace. There was a famous fortune teller in town that everyone called the Old Cat Lady. She was famous for the accuracy of her readings. She did her readings at home, and her house was full of cats. We called to make a reservation, and got one for the next day, Sunday. We spent the rest of the day shopping, and then spent the night at a hotel. We arrived at the Old Cat Lady's house after lunch the next day. I rang the doorbell.
Yes?
We have an appointment.
It's open. Come in.
I opened the door and was greeted by a cat in the hall. It glared at us, hissed, and then ran off. We walked down the hall and found the Old Cat Lady in a Western-style room. She was literally surrounded by cats. The moment we stepped into the room, they hissed at us, like we were the bad guys, then scattered. I was creeped out. My girlfriend looked troubled.
"I'm sorry, but I'd like you to leave now," the Old Cat Lady said.
Offended, I asked her why.
"I keep a lot of cats. They're very sensitive to things, and they can classify good people and bad people. This is the first time they've ever reacted such a way."
A light bulb went off, and I told the old woman about my girlfriend's strange phone calls and the dream I had.
"There's something behind your girlfriend. It looks like an animal object.
Whatever it is, throw it out immediately," the old woman answered reluctantly.
"Why?" I asked. "Please, just go. I don't want to say or see any more."
My girlfriend's face went pale, but I persisted. "What is it? Is it cursed? Is this common with antique objects?" I asked her over and over until she finally stood up.
"It's a miniature version of hell. It's a gateway to hell. Throw it away. Get out."
"But your fee."
"I don't need it."
The old woman's face as she screamed at us was the scariest thing of all. As soon as we got back to my girlfriend's house, we took the linfon and yellowed instruction paper and wrapped it in some newspaper. We wrapped it with tape and threw it in the bin. Before long, the rubbish was taken away, and that was the end of the strange occurrences. When I went to visit my girlfriend's house a few weeks later, she got out a pen and paper. She always liked anagrams and started to explain something to me. "So, that toy was spelt like Linfon, right? It might just be a coincidence, but if you rearrange the letters like this, then it also spells Inferno." No way. It's gotta be a coincidence. I wonder what would have happened if we finished the fish. All I could do was laugh dryly. I prayed that no one would pick the toy up from the dump, and that it was the only one ever made. I don't know about you guys, but this one made me think of a Japanese Hellraiser. Let's just hope nobody found it after they threw it in the trash. Our next story for this week is about a rather strange, plain doll that a young man bought as a child. But there's something not quite right with the doll. Something that's starting to affect his dreams. And soon, his health. Find out what happens in The Mysterious Doll That Talked. It was a doll about the size of the tip of your pinky finger. There was a small stall selling them. Everyone was coming to buy them, and in a rush, I got one too. I don't remember what the outside looked like too much. It was kind of plain, like a mud monster you might find in Dragon Quest. But even though it was tiny, there was a certain force or something within it. Like, it had this strange way of moving by itself. And I don't know what language it was, but the thing muttered like it was talking as well. Even stranger than that, there was no switch or springs or anything. It just moved and murmured at irregular intervals. I was fascinated by the doll, however, so I carried it around with me everywhere. It had a small strap attached, so I could. At the time, I was impressed by the technique that went into creating something so small. But it was around that time that I started to increasingly have nightmares. I don't remember what happened in them, but I would wake up covered in sweat. When I woke up, I could feel a presence in the room, and I was often sick. One day, I had this huge pain in my side. That's when I was taken aback. How do I put it? It was like the doll was enjoying my pain. I mean, it didn't have any facial expressions or anything, but I could sense it. Come to think of it, during the times I was sick, it sure did move around a lot. And then, when I had the huge pain in my side, it suddenly turned and looked at me. I became terrified of the doll and threw it away. It hit a nearby pole and shattered into tiny pieces. A small piece from inside the doll then rolled my way. What the hell was it? It was like a square pyramid, but the one difference was that the top was kind of hollowed out, with a small hole. It was making a sound. I couldn't hear it very well, but it was like the sound of something turning. Apparently, this was the noise that I heard from the doll when it was muttering. At this point, I didn't want to be around the thing any longer. But if this was the thing that made the doll move, well, then there was no longer anything to be afraid of, right? If the insides were just this intricate little machine, then there was nothing strange about it. I just wanted it to be anything but the supernatural. Nervously, I looked closer. The machine screamed and a screw suddenly burst out of the hole. The thing that sounded like a human scream was the turning of this screw. I almost wet myself, but something inside me told me that it was dangerous. There was something strange about it. The pyramid was only about 2 centimeters big, but the screw coming out of it was about 4 centimeters long. So how did it fit in there? No matter how the thing went back in, it should still be sticking out at the end. It continued making a strange noise. It drove me insane. I just wanted to get rid of it at once. I got on my bike and sped off to a faraway main road where I laid the thing down on its side so a truck or something could run over it. For some reason, I felt like this was the better option than throwing it away in the river. Thinking about it now, what I did was stupid and dangerous. But I didn't have time for anything else. Then I took off again and rode back home as fast as I could. The whole way back, I was thinking about how you always see it in the movies, right? The person gets back, and then the item is already there, waiting for them. I was terrified that would happen to me too. But I was confident that if it wasn't there when I returned, then it would all be over. But I didn't have to worry. It wasn't there. I was so relieved. But as I was relaxing at home and trying to calm down from the whole situation, fear gripped me once more. For such a long time, I was so attached to that creepy doll. I mean, I even used to sleep with it. A shiver ran down my spine, thinking about what might have been. So did you catch the hidden twist in today's opening story? This one's a little abstract at first, but there's a key point hidden in plain sight. But of course, being told not to do something makes people want to do it even more. The man in the story found a box in the middle of the road with a note that stated, "Whatever you do, don't look inside." Of course, that makes him even more curious. He takes it somewhere private, but realizes that it could be a bomb. He still wants to know what's inside, but he doesn't want to die. So, he puts the box back to wait for someone else to open it. Just then, someone comes walking down the road. And the cycle continues. The next man sees the box, wants to know what's inside, but we can assume he doesn't want to die either, and in his fear, returns the box. Then the next person comes along, and so it continues, an infinite loop, with everyone wanting to know what's inside the box, but no one actually brave enough to risk their life to do it. So, what's really inside the box? A bomb? Or perhaps something even worse. Perhaps there's really nothing at all. And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. If you enjoyed these stories and want even more, don't forget you can pick up Coabana Origins on Amazon or head over to coabana.net for our month of classic creepypastas. That's a brand new story every day. Thanks, guys. And I'll see you again next time for even more Koabana. True Japanese scary stories from around the internet. Want even more scary stories? Head over to koabana.net for new translations every week. You can also join our Patreon for exclusive stories you won't find anywhere else. Head over to koabana.net now.